I just want to give a quick report. Did we get that picture up this morning? We didn't? Okay. Well, I'll just tell you about it. I sent it to you and Weston both, and you both check your emails. Praise God. Anyhow, maybe it didn't go through. How many ever sent a text and you look a week later and you never really sent it? I know you don't do that. I do that kind of stuff. Amen. I got a deal from Pastor Paul this morning. And we have lots. Last week we had the Mexico conference. That has just exploded down there in Mexico. New churches. And I was looking at the pictures. I remember some of the early conferences. And there's like, oh my goodness, it's a lot of people that gather now in that place. And now they've got the conference in Nairobi, Kenya, going on this week. And so they have Pastor Paul and Pastor Jones is there. Ben, Pastor Jones' other son, Ben, is there. And they've been traveling out preaching in the churches. And the picture I was going to share with you is, this is Africa. And so at the end of that service, to bless Pastor Paul, they brought in a cow. And all I could think of, I mean, they just let it right into the building. And I just wondered if they had any poop catchers in that place. I'll tell you what, like to just look back and see a cow come walking right in this morning. But and Paul said, I'm still trying to figure out how to get it home. But anyhow, they wanted to bless Pastor Paul, so they brought him a cow. It's a different world in Africa. And it's so amazing because Pastor Paul went there, he and Emily and their kids, years ago. This church, we supported them extensively for a lot of years. And out of that, there's churches all over Kenya now. There's churches that are planting churches. There's thousands that have been saved. How many know it works when you plant a church and do something for God? Amen. Praise God. I want to go and dismiss kids for Super Church this morning. And God put something on my heart this week. And as I was reading in my Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I am going to read several verses out of there, starting in verse 1. But let's pray together. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your anointing. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to open the eyes and the heart of every person today. We look unto you. I bind up luring and distracting spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for hope and revelation that will flow today as your word goes forth. Your word is life. Your word is power. Your word brings hope. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read this today. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the key part that I want to look at. Looking unto Jesus, the author or the beginner. I mean, you don't have no faith until God gives you faith. He drops faith in you. So he gives you the faith, but he also has to bring that faith to completion in your life so that it produces and does everything that it's supposed to do. Who for the joy that was set before him, talking about Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The NLT says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So if you read through Hebrews chapter 12, you're going to come across a lot of names, Old Testament all the way through. And we call it the faith chapter. When he says, when we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, here's the great cloud of witnesses that are surround us today. From what Scripture says here, every one of these people made it into glory. They were people of faith. And you might look back at some of these people, well, I see people that were flawed, but they were people of faith. How many know if you made it in this chapter, you're in good shape, as far as I'm concerned. So let's consider this list. As you go through this list, Abel, he starts about Abel. You remember Abel and Cain and Abel came. And Abel brought the better offering. And his brother killed him. But the Bible, how did Abel do that? Because he had faith. So God worked something in her. We hear about Enoch. Enoch to me is one of the most intriguing men in the Bible. Because he never tasted death. How did Enoch walk in such a way that he never had to die? He just went home with Jesus one day. They said, where's Enoch? He said, nobody's seen him. Noah. You ever how he built that amazing ark? Let me just say this. Faith is the currency and the only currency of heaven. You know, in the U.S., we have different kinds of currencies. We have Bitcoin. If you go to Europe, you have the euro. And then you get into France and you have a French money. If you go to Africa, there's a million different things. But in heaven, there's only one. And that's faith. The only thing that spins with God, the only thing that moves God, the only thing that changes things is faith. So how many believe that's important? And all of these people accomplished certain things with faith. Enoch got to heaven not because he was perfect, but because he had a faith in God. So Noah built an amazing ark. You ever wondered about how he did that? How did he do that? I can't build a doghouse, but Noah built an ark. How did he do it? Faith. He believed God, and he did something he probably had never even thought about doing. Abraham left his homeland, and he became the one we call the father of faith. How did he do that? He had faith in God. He heard Sarah, 90 years old. And you know, we talk about Abraham's faith. Sarah, the Bible says Sarah had faith. She's in that chapter. She had a baby at 90. Now that's some faith, ain't it? It's the currency that God looks for. Abraham offered Isaac on the altar and received him back forever because of faith. Isaac promised blessings to his sons for the future before he died because of faith, and it happened. You go on, Jacob. He saw Joseph and his grandsons after they were lost to him because of faith. He believed God. They came back. He got to see them. Jacob saw that they would leave Egypt. You know how he saw something? And you know how I know that? He said, when you leave, don't forget my bones. He fully knew we're leaving Egypt. Egypt's not our ending place. Moses, think about Moses. Moses was in Egypt. He was a son of the Pharaoh, and he had everything. He had servants. The girls were after him. He had money. He had position. But Moses, by faith, saw something better. How many want to see something better with your eyes of faith? And so he left Egypt because he saw something different. Israel, as a nation, had faith, and they walked through dry ground, through the Red Sea. Amazing. Everybody, and that same track that they went on drowned Pharaoh's armies just a few moments later. They remained unscathed when the death angel went through that land because of their faith. They put that blood. Isn't that seem, what do you do? You kill this animal, get the blood, put it. That was faith. They were acting. And how many know faith protected? You want to protect your family? Don't open up a 401k. Have faith for God, in God. Be a person of faith. And you know what? They protected their families. In the morning, every place, every person that didn't have the faith to put the blood over the door, their firstborn was dead. Even the firstborn animal, they were dead. So faith. Israel remained unscathed during that. The walls of Jericho came down, not because they stomped so hard that the ground shook, but they had faith. Faith moved those walls down. You see, what made those walls go down? Faith. I want you to see this. Faith is real. Faith is powerful. You want to change your life and your family? Get a hold of faith. Put your faith in God. Rahab was a prostitute. She gave sexual favors to men for money. That's what her job was. But when those people came, when those spies came in, she had faith for something better. Oh, and you know what? Rahab is right in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. You can trace Jesus right back to Rahab. Isn't it amazing? Because of faith. She had faith for something better. You want to get out of the rotten life you're in? Have the faith that Rahab had. Hebrews 11:32 takes out, he says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. How many want what God has promised you? Faith gets that for you. Faith takes that for you. Faith receives that for you. They shut the mouths of lions. They quench the flames of fire. And they escape death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. And they became strong in battle. And they put whole armies to flight. And women received their loved ones back again from death. So faith is what brings the supernatural intervention of God in men's lives. Christians are to be a people of faith. You should be markedly different than the average person out there that doesn't know Jesus. There should be something that is markedly different because we are people of faith. We don't just receive, we receive by faith miraculous things from God, starting with our salvation. Amen? Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. So what's God looking for? Your perfection? No, he's looking for your faith. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a lot of imperfect people, but they had faith and God accepted them. We talked about Rahab. What about David? David had all kinds of sin problems that he had to deal with, and he did deal with them, and he did repent, and he did get it straight out. But you know what? He was a man of faith, and today he's in heaven. So faith is God's currency. If you want something from God, you need to begin to grow and walk in faith like never before. So God, when he looked down, he didn't say, well, to the person who walks perfect, I'm going to help him. To the perfect, you know, how many know the thief on the cross was anything but perfect, but he had faith. He realized, this man's different. I believe in him. Jesus, would you help me? Done. Isn't that amazing? He got a hold of some heavenly currency in the last moment, and it bought him eternity in heaven. Isn't that powerful? That is so powerful. See, faith, you know, we can't, it's not, see, religion, it's all by perfection. You have everything sorted out. You got to have this perfect and that perfect. I'm not saying we don't strive for righteousness because we do. But I'm telling you, if it depends on my righteousness, I'm in big trouble. And so are you. Our sin, in fact, can only be defeated by our faith. You know how you overcome sin? By faith in what Jesus did on the cross. It's not by determining that you're going to be good enough. How many of you have ever made good resolutions? And you can get real strong in your spirit. I'm done with this. I'm done with that. Oh, Jesus, help me be done with it. Amen? Because my determinations alone are pretty impotent. So this is what God's looking at today. He's looking for your faith. As his eye would come down in this congregation right now, those who he responds to today, this week, next month, will be people that have faith in that. So faith is what brings about supernatural intervention. And it's what God looks for. Now, if we were going to go and rewrite that faith chapter again, we talked about all things, all kinds of things. Directed them to leave their homeland. Close lions' mouths. Stop darts. Let me tell you, we may have a different set of needs today, but how many know we have some real needs today in this place? What would that chapter look like if your things were in there? You know, we can go through that. Maybe you don't need Jericho's walls to come down, but maybe yours would be walls of addiction. See, the world says today the only way you can get free of addiction is go to Alcoholics Anonymous for the rest of your life and say, I'm an alcoholic. But that's not what faith says. Faith says he who the Son sets free can be free indeed. How many would rather be free indeed? So what would your chapter look like? You know, would he say this person whose addiction of drugs or alcohol or pornography was broken completely? That person, their marriage was restored by, you know, marriages are restored by faith. Marriages can be restored by faith. Whose children were saved. How many want your kids saved? By faith. I'm telling you, your kids are going to go through things. There ain't no, Pastor Jones told me once years ago, he said, Jonathan, always be careful how you talk about other people's kids because the devil don't like yours any better than he likes theirs. Right? The devil will go after your kids. You know what will save your kids? Your faith. The Bible says, train them up in the way they should go, and in the end, they will not depart from it. I believe that. And I tried to train them up in the way they should go, but you know what? My faith is still at work in that. It's not done until it's done, but it's done in the Spirit. Some of you might, whose poverty was removed. Some of you looked and your life has come from brokenness, from poverty, from depression, whose depression was broken, whose darkness was dissipated. How about this one? Whose health was restored. Whose health was restored. The devil, you know, let me tell you how you begin to walk healthy. You have faith. You have faith. Whose womb was opened. You know what? With God, all things are possible. I'll let them share their own news later. We prayed for somebody just a while back that they would have a baby, and she's pregnant right now. Amen? Why? Because God opens wombs. God does. What the doctors say, we don't know how to fix that. But God knows how. Whose rage and anger was taken away. Whose family history of abuse was changed. How many people, it's like, well, our family's just abusive. No, that can change by faith. Whose perversion was healed. Amen? Now, let's just consider. I want to make this very simple and clear today. We could talk about faith. There's so much you could say about it. But God put one thing on my heart. I'm going to go back to this scripture, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. So, God is the author. God is the finisher. What is our part in this? What does it say? Looking. The verb here is you've got to look. So, the title of my message today is, what are you staring at? You have to look. You have a part in faith. Faith has an activity. Faith has an action. And it's critical. So he says, looking unto Jesus. Here's the deal, church. If we don't look unto Jesus, faith don't work. There's something. You say, are you talking with my eyes? You know, sometimes it may be with your eyes, but I'm telling you, you have eyes in your heart. Looking unto Jesus. You know, last week as we were with Robin's family and her sister had been very, very sick. And so we're in that hospital room and it's very close to the time when she's going to go into eternity. And we're there and they're part of a different religion that I believe it's pretty much a cult, and they're talking about different things and quoting different scriptures and stuff, and the more I was in that room, the more agitated I got in my spirit, and I'll tell you why. Nobody was talking about Jesus. Nobody was turning towards Jesus. Church, in the last moments of your life, you better turn towards Jesus. I'll tell you what, don't wait until the end. Get your heart ready. So that Jesus is your natural response. In my heart, I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, you know what, can I pray? Can I pray? And you know what I did? I prayed to Jesus. I called on Jesus. Because I'm telling you, in the last moments of life, looking unto Jesus will get you to heaven. And so, I want you to think with me. Doing lots of different things may help, but looking, he says, unto Jesus. Matthew 6:22. I want to show you something about your eyes, and in even the eyes of your heart. Your eye, it says in Matthew 6:22, is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And the light that you think you have, your very conscience, is actually a darkness, how deep that darkness is. What that scripture is saying is what you look at changes everything on the inside. What you look at, what you take in with your spiritual eyes and even with your physical eyes changes everything. What you look at, what you are focused on in the spiritual, in the spiritual realm. If we look at our religion, we're in trouble. If we look at our works, we're in trouble. If we look at our past failures and sin, we're in trouble. If we look to a family member, we're in trouble. But if we look to Jesus, we will not be in trouble. We will never be left short. Looking unto Jesus. See, the eye open. When you look to something, and I'm going to show you this, there's something in the spiritual realm. When you look, light begins to come. When you look at the right things, light begins to come into your inner man. And one person can be so dark, so hopeless, but the person that looks unto Jesus and keeps focused on him, they have peace. They have redemption at work in their heart. When you start looking at Jesus, light comes into your soul. You say, how do I get rid of this dark feeling I have? You got to start get your eyes back on Jesus. Begin to look at who he is. Begin to look at what he did on Calvary's cross. Something begins to happen. As soon as you look to Jesus, something begins to happen. He says, when the eye is good, how many know Jesus is good? When you look at Jesus, your whole body is filled with light. How many want a light-filled body? Got to look to Jesus every day, every day. See, faith begins with looking unto Jesus. Let me give you a few examples in the Bible. In Acts 3, you read about a man that was lame since birth. Peter and John are on their way to the temple for a prayer meeting. And as they're on their way, they come by him. This whole situation becomes supernaturally charged. They're walking by. I don't know if God just dropped something in Peter's. Probably they had seen that man before. Probably everybody had seen that man, because it says that Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, and the one called the beautiful gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Now watch, I want you to see this. Peter and John looked at him intently. Watch what's happening. There's something going on. They look at that man. They looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. You know what? Sometimes God is saying, look at me. Look at me. Don't look. You know when you look at Jesus, you can't look at your broken legs anymore. You can't look at your broken past anymore. You can't look at the failed this. He says, look at us. And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene. Get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, and he helped him up, and he said, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened, and he jumped up. Church, when you look right, you'll jump up. When you look right, you'll see miracles happen. I guarantee you there's a reason that Peter said, look at me. You know what God's saying to somebody? Look at me. Quit looking at religion. Quit looking at the past. Quit looking at this person or that person. Look at Jesus. When he looked at Jesus, oh, a miracle happened. You know, it's crazy. Secular counseling does the opposite. Well, we're going to look at your past. We're going to look at what your grandmama did to you before you was born. We're going to look at what your great-grandpa did or your great-grandma. We're going to look at this. You know what? You can look at all that stuff. You can dig in your past, and all you'll feel is worse. But when you look to Jesus, something begins to happen, because faith is involved in that look. That man was healed. I don't need a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. I need miracles. Looking unto Jesus. Here's another one. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Now Stephen's a godly man. He has preached one of the longest sermons in the whole Bible. Watch it.
full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know, if you'll look up and you'll look towards Jesus, you'll be able to endure anything. Stephen didn't go out of here begging for mercy from Stephen. You know what? Stephen went out praying for the same people that were killing him in that moment. How did he do that? He looked up. He looked up. He saw Jesus. See, friend, when you see Jesus in your situation, when you see Jesus for your family, I am telling you, it will change you. It'll change you. It'll change people around you. Stephen looked up, and he saw Jesus. And he could deal with anything. When you see Jesus, you'll be able to deal with it. You say, how am I going to make it through this week? Look up. Look unto Jesus. This looking up is a faith action. It infused Stephen with power. It infused him with boldness. He didn't look at the people that had rocks. You know, many times we just look at the people with the rocks. Think, I'll get you back. I'll get my, and we get full of fear. You know, when we look at the wrong things, we get full of fear. We get full of anger. We get full of self-righteousness. We get full of all kinds of things. He looked up, and he saw Jesus, and he could face it. Here's another example, Hebrews 11:27. It says, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept, okay, so his father is the Pharaoh. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. You wonder how Moses led those people? He had his eyes on somebody else. How will you get through dealing with cranky people, backsliding people, people that were hard to lead? How do you get through 40 years on the backside of the death? You keep your eyes on. He looked at the one who is invisible. Let me go by. He says he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. You know how you'll keep on going? You keep your eyes on the one who is invisible. He's invisible to the world, but you'll see him. You'll see who Jesus is, and something will begin to flow. Remember, the eye is a gate. When you're looking unto Jesus, who he is, what he's done, when you read through those Gospels and you look at what Jesus did and who he was, something begins to flow inside of you that is powerful. Moses didn't stare at he didn't look at the riches of Egypt. You know what? You look at the riches, people be saying, well, I'll lose all of this. Quit looking at that. It's a nothing. Nobody cares about the riches of Egypt, right? But Moses is in eternity as a great man of God. Why? Because he didn't look at his present surroundings. I have people say, well, you know, if I look at God, if I get to, then I'll have to get. No, you're looking at the wrong thing. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus today. So as you go through Hebrews 11, you see that these people saw something. He says, but they saw it all from a distance. And he says, even the ones that didn't see everything, you know, God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, your kids are going to be so multiplied, you won't be able to count them, like the stars of the sky or the sands on the seashore. He didn't see it all, but let me tell you, it all happened. It all happened. It all came forward. But here it is. They saw it. Do you see it? Do we see it today? Do we see Jesus today? See, I see a lot of people, and it seems so foolish, people that have served God for a period of years, and now, you know, they can't see Jesus anymore. It's all about, well, this didn't happen the way I thought it was, and that didn't happen, and I don't like this. You know what? Get your eyes back on Jesus. There's all kinds of things happening around you. This earth is rocking and rolling, and things are happening. So what? We're going home. This world is just a temporary spot for you and I. What a shame if in these times we get so focused on this life that we forget about Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father. I'm going up in the first resurrection. How about you? Turn your eyes to Jesus today. Hebrews 11:39. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. See, I hear some people, I believed God and this didn't happen out. You don't see it all. I don't see it all.
How many realize that? Don't get upset. Abraham believed God, and he didn't have one son, much less thousands of them, right? But it was a done deal because he believed God. How many realize, when you believe God, it's a done deal. So the miracle today requires that we look unto Jesus only. And every one of us are going to have to make some decisions about some things. And I would challenge you even today, before you leave. Some of you have been stuck in a certain place, a place of bondage, a place of hopelessness. I'm going to tell you, you can make some decisions today. You know, I recently rewatched the movie Secretariat. It's about a horse. Now, if you're a horse person, Secretariat is the greatest racehorse that ever lived, barring none. And this horse, usually, you know, at how many know what the Triple Crown is? So the Triple Crown is three races. It's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. And very few horses in the history of horse racing have ever managed to win those three races. Each race gets longer than the last race. And so it had been 25 years since any horse had won the Triple Crown. Many people were saying it could never happen again. But here comes this horse. They called him Big Red. And he had a crazy trainer named Lucient. And nobody believed that this horse could do much. His history had some good horses in it, but horses that generally could not do a long race. They petered out when it got too long. And so this old trainer's dealing with this horse, and he's trying to figure. And so he's his whole life, he's always had horses that were pretty good, but they were never the one. They were the almost horses. And so in the back of Lucian's trunk in his car, he had all kinds of clippings from newspapers and articles about all of the old almost horses he ever trained. And so he would go back and he would look at those clippings of almost, those this and that. And so the night before the Kentucky Derby, he's struggling whether he's going to have another almost horse. So he goes to the trunk of his car and he pulls out all those clippings and he burns them one by one. He drops all the almost things that never happened. And he said, I'm putting my faith in this Big Red horse. And there had been all kinds of things that had happened. He'd had a bad tooth and got nobody thought he was in good shape because he had some eating issues. And the next day, they raced him, and he won the Kentucky Derby. Now, in horse racing history, by the time he got to the Belmont Stakes, if you've ever watched racing, they usually win by a nose, by a hair, maybe by a length, a horse length or two. Secretariat won by 32 lengths. You want to see some good horse racing history? Pull that up on YouTube and watch it. It's the most shocking thing. People's mouths are literally hanging open. What I'm saying today, church, is we got to be like Lucian. We got to quit looking at the past. We got to quit looking at the almost things that never happened. Because we've all got them. I almost got free. Quit looking at the almost. Burn the things of the past and say, I'm looking towards Jesus. He'll take you through the finish line. He'll make you a winner. See, faith looks away. It looks unto Jesus. Faith looks away from disease and the doctor's report. There, as they're in the hospital yesterday afternoon with Christina and Randy Mira, they're people of faith. And the doctors tell Christina, you know, all of your organs are fighting against each other. We're afraid to help the heart because if we help the heart, it's making the liver mad. If we help the liver, I don't quite understand all of that. But you know what? Randy told me that morning. So, you know, She's held steady. She actually went up. Her liver numbers actually went up a while back from 13 to 14. She's been holding steady at 14. And they came in and they told Randy and Tina, they said her liver numbers dropped to 8. That's kidney failure. And Randy said, the first words out of my mouth is, I don't accept that report. Well, come to find out, the doctor read the thing wrong. He gave her calcium. Her liver still was at 14, or her kidney was still at 14. But can I tell you something, that when you, faith looks away from the doctor report. I sat there, we had a good time just visiting. We prayed. There was faith in that room. That room was so different than a week before for me and my sister-in-law's room. Because there was faith to believe God. We said, well, if Tina goes home ultimately, so be it. She'll be in heaven shouting victory. But faith is at work. I believe she'll be out of the hospital probably today or tomorrow. That's what I believe. Because we prayed. We looked at what God's Word says. God's Word has, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? I thank God for doctors, but they make a lot of mistakes. They deal with a lot of people. I don't know how they keep it all straight in their heads. But what are you going to look at? See, faith looks away from the addictions of the past. Faith looks away and unto Jesus over past failures, over the lies of the devil. Satan will do everything. Satan doesn't just want to make you sin. Satan wants to kill your faith. And it says, in the one thing that begins to fight against faith, you know why the devil tries to draw you into sin? Because sin is a faith killer. Sin begins to darken you on the inside. Sin begins to dampen you. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Church, we gotta stand against sin, because sin kills your faith, and without faith, we're in trouble. So sin begins to erode. But here's the truth. Sin kills faith, but faith kills sin. How many realize that? Sin kills faith. If we take a lackadaisical attitude about our sin, we're going to be in trouble. But you know what? If you'll rise up and grab a hold of God, you can defeat your sin. Because Jesus did it already on the cross. You have to receive what he did. So sin kills faith, but faith kills sin. Ephesians 5:6 says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once they were full of darkness, but now you have light. Once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. How do you stop sinning? You get so much light, it produces only what is right and good. If you just look at your sin, you get darker. If you just stare at your failures and your sin. But when you look at Jesus, he says, so live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right. Verse 10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. See, when you begin to look to Jesus and his light, you know what? You're going to have a hard time going on in sin. God's going to break some things. You know why I know that? Because Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ. You know why? We none of us have an excuse, because Jesus already defeated your sin. And if you'll look up, say, Lord, today. You see, don't look up a month in advance. Look up today, for today. And tomorrow, look up again. You know what? I realized something. Every day I have to choose Jesus again. You say, well, I got saved. Yeah, choose him again today. Every day. You know, many times in the morning before I ever get out of bed, I'm laying there in bed. And the Bible says, draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to you. So as I'm laying there in bed, I say, Jesus, I draw near to you. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking up to Jesus before my feet ever get out of bed. I say, Jesus, I'm drawing near to you. Please receive me. Draw me to yourself. And you know what? When I do that, the Bible says he draws near to me. He says he stands at the door and he knocks. And when I get up in the morning, I am afraid to face my day unless I look up first. And when I look up, I get hope. Sometimes I'll lay there in bed for a few minutes and many times God will bring some prayer requests and I'll look up for other people. How many ever look up for other people? I'll look up for people that are going through different battles. You know, this is why you say, what is it this looking? When you look up, you look to what who God is and who his word. You know, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. As I just think of that scripture there in James, draw near to God. See, if I didn't know that, if I didn't read that in my Bible, I wouldn't know I could do that. Let me realize that. You wouldn't know you could do it. You wouldn't know that from the moment you step out of bed, God can be near you in the morning. And he can be near you all through the day. Because his word tells us that, draw near to God. And you know what? Later on in the morning, at 10 o'clock, when something happens, you can draw near to God again. Say, Lord, I draw near to you. And he says, I'm drawing near to you. And faith fills us. Let's bow our heads this morning.